Support for 30 Days of West Virginia Music is provided by Kinship Goods, proud supporter of DIY music and the arts. Locally shipped worldwide at kinshipgoods.com. Seriously, check out their t-shirts.
I played a talent show. It was at the university, and they asked me if I would play a song while they tallied up the scores, and I played. And then the host mentioned, she's like, he sounds like Jack Johnson and he looks like an Avid brother. And I had already heard it enough that it sounded like Jack Johnson, and I love that. I love that guy, you know? But at this point, it's like, what am I getting pigeonholed into? And I think I would have rather the flip and maybe looked like Jack and sounded like the Avids.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and this is 30 Days of West Virginia Music, a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. Throughout the month of June, we are celebrating some of the folks who are making the West Virginia music scene wild and wonderful. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews. And today, a laid-back pop act who wants to explore others' music just as much as his own. This is Weary Space Wanderer. Can you tell me who you are and what do you do?
My name is Kevin Hamrick, and I am a singer-songwriter living in Morgantown. And my latest project is Weary Space Wanderer.
And what is Weary Space Wanderer?
Weary Space Wanderer is, I think I had been through a few different aliases and bands. And this was the name that I had playing around in the back of my head, really at the top of a list of probably a ton of crazy ideas that I had. And I just kept wanting to do a project with it. But then when I filled out my solo stuff with a backing band that just kind of spontaneously came together, they started to show up enough to where we needed a name. And not only did I want to name the band that, but I wanted it to be my moniker as well. So I guess Weary Space Wonder is just the name for the music I'm creating at this time in my life.
And this time in your life, you're in Morgantown, West Virginia. Were you born and raised there, or are you a transplant?
No, I was born and raised in Braxton County, West Virginia, just outside of Flatwoods, in a little town called Heaters. My parents grew up on the Clay-Nicholas County line, so I'm a West Virginia boy through and through. I spent a lot of time, a lot of my youth was running around in hollows down in very, very deep hollows in central West Virginia, which I adore still to this day. It gives you a unique perspective, especially when you start to travel or move away, even to another town like Morgantown, which is different, very different from where I was running around as a youth.
Did you grow up with music in your house in Braxton County?
Absolutely. My mother's music was a large influence on me. She was listening, her and my dad were listening to a lot of country and gospel music, and especially bands that maybe transitioned from one to the other. I think they loved a lot of that country music of the time, but bands like Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who were maybe moving from country to gospel and back and forth, and were playing in bluegrass styles. Those are the type of bands that stuck out to me the most of my parents because they were so versatile. They really weren't stuck in this one genre, and you might hear them on country radio. And then when I would pick up an album of theirs, there would be this underlying current of just amazingness that would never even make it to radio. And I think that's when I started to just become an audiophile and really explore on my own. But my mother definitely pushed me to just seek out what I wanted to hear. And she was never too critical of when I got into my aunts and uncles' records and was listening to Iron Butterfly or Grateful Dead. She wasn't too critical of those things, and she let me do it at a young age. So I can't thank my parents enough for really just letting me explore, even if they maybe didn't think it was the best music.
Well, you mentioned how, you know, some music you just couldn't find on radio, so you sought it out yourself. Did some of that music, that underground music, include West Virginia musicians?
Not as much as it should have. My parents took me to a lot of shows, live shows. So live music became very important to me. And whether I was seeing a show in-state from someone local or whether they were taking me to a traveling show that was coming through town that was a national act, I don't think I discerned the difference between the two. It wasn't until I was older that I knew, or I think maybe I even cared. It was a big world to me, and I wasn't sectioning West Virginia off at a young age. So if, you know, we were listening to Tim O'Brien or something on Mountain Stage, I didn't know any better. I really wasn't discerning the difference between a national act or a world-renowned act and somebody who grew up locally and became that.
Well, that's a good distinction, or I guess that's not a good distinction. That's good that you didn't have that distinction, because then it's just music. It was great music, regardless of the territories or boundaries.
Absolutely, and then you become, and you know, kids are good about this anyways. You know, the music in somebody's backyard or back porch seems just giant to you when you're that interested in it at a young age. Everything seems big and wonderful. But, you know, I wish at times I would have spent a little more time exploring the people locally, maybe found a mentor and maybe got into music earlier in my life. I mean, not that I wasn't playing. I just don't think I was making great leaps and advances. And I have such an obsession with it. I only wonder what would have happened if I would have latched on to someone locally that could have just pulled me up on my bootstraps and kept pushing me to play.
Well, how did you start playing? Like, when was the first moment that you're like, yeah, I'm a musician, I can be a singer-songwriter?
I still don't feel like a musician. I tell people I'm much more comfortable with being called an artist than a musician. I don't feel like I know quite enough. And that's maybe being too humble, but that's the route I'd rather go. Is I'm still so just toes in the water of this world, even though I've been playing for a long time. I was obsessed with music, like I said, at a young age, and my mother wanted to help me do that any way she could. So at first, I would always play the piano when it was my family's turn to clean the church. I would play the piano in there, and I'm sure it was very annoying to my mom and dad while I was doing that. So I think they thought maybe they should help me make some better sounds. And I started taking piano lessons around the age of 4 or 5, but I didn't really want to keep going. I think it was because it was a very strict, rigorous sort of environment with the teacher I was with. And for some reason that didn't appeal to me. I think my brain was too busy with, well, what if I did this, or where would this go? Or any song I learned, whether it was Twinkle Twinkle or a hymnal, I think it was a hymn. I was already trying to flip it on its head and figure out what it sounded like backwards, or if I made the chords up on my own and put my own words to it. So I started messing around at, you know, 4 or 5, as soon as you could put a noisemaker in my hand. But I really didn't start writing songs until I picked up the guitar around 14, maybe.
And what brought you to Morgantown then, from that age till, what, you're 20-something now? 30-something now?
I'm 30-something now. I'm 34 now. Maybe edit that out. Don't tell anybody that. No, I had a music teacher in middle school who was a West Virginia musician. I'll give a shout-out to Bo McMillan. He was a music teacher in my middle school, and he turned me on to some classic rock, you know, whether it be the Beatles or Pink Floyd. He kind of set the fire, and it really grew from there. Through middle school, I think I was trying to play the guitar, and then in high school, some buddies and me, of course, started a band because that's fun. That's very fun to do. Everybody should try to do something like that, especially at that age, because I don't think it matters how great you are or how good you are. It's a very forgiving time where your friends just are into that sort of thing. And So we started playing in a band in high school. And when I came to WVU to go to school, so that's what brought me to Morgantown. But I really stopped playing out in public or for people. We'd sit around at house parties and stuff and maybe make up silly songs. But I had stopped performing, which, whether it was music in high school or theater in high school or really all the way from elementary school to high school, I was performing in some way. And then in college, it stopped. And a lot of songs grew out of that because I was sitting on my couch, I think maybe figuring out how I wanted to write songs seriously. But it wasn't till maybe around 27 that I started playing open mics in Morgantown and really trying to showcase some original music.
So your new, this project, Weary Space Wanderer, did it officially begin in the last year or two?
Yes, it was, I think, 2015. I had been playing solo acoustic shows as well as playing in a band called The Royals. And The Royals were a hard blues rock act where it was fun to have a persona where it was very carefree and loud and wild. And I think the other side of the coin from that, which is what I was doing before I started The Royals, was just playing acoustic shows in restaurants or cafes. And Weary Space Wanderer started when a few friends started coming around and hanging out at those shows and filling in. Before we knew it, there were four of us on stage at a time instead of just one guy coming out to play along to my acoustic show. And that's when it was a band, and I thought, not only are these great guys and my friends and people I get along with really well, but they're really great musicians. And if I don't take this opportunity to start recording some of all these songs I've written, I'm really going to be sorry someday. So I think this is my first serious foray into like making an album and trying to make it patiently the way I heard it in my head.
I love you with the power of the sun and winds, the rain, yet it come again. Weather them with me, you always be my family.
So let's go ahead and talk about this debut release then that's out now for Weary Space Wanderer.
Yeah, so I have an EP out now called The Obliquity of the Ecliptic, and I subtitled it the 23.5 degree EP. That way radio hosts could
we'll be able to pronounce it.
Go to that name if they really wanted to. I like things that are challenging and striking, eclectic, sort of all those things are wrapped up in a name like The Obliquity of the Ecliptic. It takes you a minute to get it to roll off the tongue, but I think once it does, it's a lot of fun to say.
Does it tie into this kind of wondrous, fantastical name that you have with Weary Space Wanderer?
Absolutely. It leaves a broad swath. It really has an open road, quite a wide berth to really explore. And so does The Obliquity of the Ecliptic. What that really means, long and short, is the tilt of the Earth on its axis, and that degree tilt creates the seasons. Those seasons are happening whether we want them to or not, and we have to deal with that. And that's a big metaphor for just the changes in life. And that's what the whole EP is about. I don't think I set out when we started recording the songs, I don't think I set out for it to all be tied into each other like that. But when I realized of all the demos that we did, the songs that we were picking out to complete, I realized they all had this sort of theme, which is a very general theme. So you could probably find that in all the songs I'm writing or that anyone's writing, just change it in coping with that. But there really seem to be this big element of cyclical change and just how we deal with that.
Now, would you say that astronomy or this worldwide view of the Earth's poles, is that part of what you do for music, or is that just like a natural curiosity you've had for a while?
I think it's a natural curiosity just in general. Not only outer space, but just space in general is a very large term. You know, the space around you, the space between notes, the space between people in a relationship, that's all explorable. The notes or the chords that I'm playing aren't as powerful without the space in between. I think this is me trying to find my footing and trying to be more of an explorer, more adventurous in this music realm, to really dive in and go see what I could do if I, you know, head first, give it my all. But like you said, there's this sort of juxtaposition of poles or the tilt on an axis, and I have so many different influences, I'm often just torn apart by myself when I have to nail it down. It's hard for me to make a recording because I'm worried that it's so final, and I don't want it to be. I want it to be impermanent and ever-changing. But, you know, you got to record music so people can hear it. I'm out there seeking it out and buying enough of it, and I know other people would like that too. And I like playing live music, and it can change every night that we play it. But at some point, I had to record these songs really just to help me get more shows and to make people realize that I was serious about it and I'm being professional about it. And then I can come in and I can play this show, and it's good, and people might be interested in it. So you have to do those sort of things, but it really is about, exploration and pushing the limits for myself.
Oh, he's a fine-looking dog, hair from hell jumped like a frog. And the deacon starts schools up my mind to find him all the time, find him all the time.
The record itself, and you know, I like it a lot. I think it's this kind of breezy, almost singer-songwritery folk pop. And I would almost say in the same vein as like Jack Johnson. I know whether that's good or bad. I'm sorry, but it does sound good regardless.
I love Jack Johnson. I get that comparison a lot. But I don't want to be boxed in. I think that's the thing I'm most scared of, is when you get tied to a name. But I mean, Jack's great.
Name basis, I see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me and JJ, that's what I call him. It's just funny that you mentioned that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh and interrupt.
Oh no. See, that's as soon as I thought about that question, I'm like, should I bring up the fact that it reminds me of Jack Johnson's music or not? I was like, I'll do it. Whatever.
No, I'm definitely not scared of any comparison. That's quite the compliment. But yeah, it got a chuckle out of me, I guess.
You talked about the West Virginia music scene, your individual work in it as a singer-songwriter or an artist, and now as the band, where you feel like you're motivated to make music in order to make more music through gigs and, you know, money. In general, what has been your experience, good or bad, with the West Virginia music scene?
The people that you meet are great. The bands that you meet are great. But the bad side of things is it's hard. It's really hard to do that. And that's probably true everywhere. But, you know, you want to meet these people and you want to play for them and you want to hang out with other bands and listen to them and become influenced and acquaintances and friends with all these people around you. But it's hard to do. We have a vibrant group of musicians and bands and artists, and we don't always have these inroads to play. And that might be true everywhere because, you know, I've not been a musician or an artist in other cities, so that could very well be true everywhere. Just a very difficult thing to get your foot in the door before you can ever play a note. You know I do this because I just really like playing for people and with other musicians and sharing that sort of thing that you have between a listener and an artist. But before you ever get to that point. It's really hard. It can make you want to not do it, or it can be so difficult that you wonder if it's worth it. But then I think you get on stage and you play a little bit and you know it is. Or you make an album and you get a call from Joni Deutsch and you're like, okay, all right, that's not so bad. Even though I mean, I don't mind being interviewed, but I think I would rather be playing.
And that's the end of the interview. I understand. It's almost like you'd rather just be doing it instead of trying to actively be promoting it, like being the marketer and being this like media personality rather than just doing what you love, which is not that, it's the music.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a competitive thing, even when you don't want it to be. You know, I'm so supportive and just really in love with all these other musicians locally that are making music. I just adore it. But it's the fact that there's only so many people that can play a certain set of venues. We don't have a ton of music venues, and now there's more festivals and things like that. But, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to get on those things.
Which I guess one could say that that's a good thing, that there are, you know, more bands now, more festivals. It's bringing in more fans to the state, or it's encouraging
Absolutely.
More fans to, you know, at a festival, you come for one band, you come out with like four new bands in your head. So I guess that's a good predicament to be in. But I can understand that where you're trying to get your foot in the door. And it's like that whole thing, like you need experience, but you need experience to get experience. And how
yeah,
can I get experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like with job hunting or anything else in life.
I think, you know, sharing fans is the best way to do that. Getting on a bill with the people I'm fans of is my favorite thing to do, because I'm thinking, man, I love their music. I wonder if some of the people who like their music would also like mine. And that's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, I think it is too. So we talked about your past. We talked about the present. What is the future of Weary Space Wanderer and your music?
I hope to, in the future, make more music, make it faster, bigger, and better. I want to keep changing. I want to keep growing. So I've got plenty of songs. I think I told you before, I sat on my couch for a lot of years not playing music out and not recording music. So I've got plenty of songs, and every time I sit down, they seem to keep coming. And I think that's a good sign of this is something I'm supposed to be doing, or it's at least an outlet for me, a therapeutic thing for me. So I need to keep doing it, and I need to keep doing it in bigger and better ways. But you know, when you're running and jumping off some rocks and cannonballing into some water, you know, it's got to be bigger each time or it's not quite as fun. So that's what I'm looking to do. I'm just looking to make a bigger splash each time. And I think the Weary Space Wanderer name, hopefully it sticks for a while. You know, I've been through a few iterations of this, but this is the one where I think I've really found some footing, and it puts a smile on my face, and hopefully it's doing that for other people. And as long as it is, I want to keep changing and doing something unexpected.
Weary Space Wanderer's newest release is The Obliquity of the Ecleptic, which is out now on iTunes and wherever fine music is sold. 30 Days of West Virginia Music is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. This episode was written, edited, and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Nathan Thomas. Our digital promotions come from Josh Saul. Our theme was composed by Matt Jackford and performed by Montana Skies and John Query. You can hear more West Virginia music on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Follow us on social media. We're at A Change of Tune. And for more West Virginia music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/wvmusic and subscribe to our podcast feed. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.